This morning I'm turning to the book of Hebrews chapter 9. And I read to you verse 27 to 28. And as it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, to Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And my theme or subject this morning is the unavoidable appointment. The unavoidable appointment. Say, yeah, what tire and pay a better suffer here? Ishaya yin to me empo on an unavoidable appointment. Ishaya yin to me empo. And the text we just read brings to mind two important future events for all living, for each one of us living here. Two important events. And that is, it's inevitable for all living, that two events, and that is death and judgment. You see, in some kind, I can't even pay. At the actual Greek word, na enioma mienu a hunhia pa de otiase phobia enim. Eno ne a hunhia matiase phobia ewo eni atembu. Dahoma obia otiase a e adihia di pa. When we think of those who have passed on before us, the dead, for them they need no such a reminder. Such an important reminder, they need it. Because they don't need it, because they have already realized these things. So this is given for us who are living. They have realized this state already, they have realized death, and they have entered into judgment. There can you say, somewhere above what you said. One more will call and answer more edikine. I will name a woman or more dear, or my papa to woo, Makotu. They are semi who hear my name. Those who have passed on before us, they are just like Lazarus and the rich man in what Christ told us in Luke chapter 16:19-31, where he told us immediately when we die, where what happens to us. Me se de omo a etwe mu ko a ewu di omo ko de omo no de Jesus Christ ka she Luke 16 e fa Lazarus ene sikeni no ho no omo wuye no mre fa omo wuye pen de a bia omo ko ye no omo de omo do odada. They have realized these things, they have died, they have also entered into judgment, and their state is already determined. That is why it is sorry to say foolish for some churches to think that when we die people can pray for us to get salvation, to be relieved from purgatory. It's total nonsense. But Christ himself told that. The rich man, immediately before he died, he opened his eyes, he was in hell. And Lazarus was in paradise. There isn't any place where people can be taken when we die, except what is fixed for us. So that is what the Bible says. Well, I'm sure we know that everybody believes that death is certain. And that one, because they see it happening, so they believe it. But as for judgment, some think that it is not. They may kind of say, a word there, in here, in tomb, Obi or Tiasibia, Obi or Gazi Wood, or no, Obi or Nagin, and yet. Obi, I didn't say a word there, but a cat, 10 word there, Bimusa, well, I know there, Obi and Nino. So that's the most, thing, the most important thing among these two important events. The death, we all know, and I mean, no one would doubt it. But for judgment, that is the issue. They will tell us that those who think that there's no judgment after death thinks that they will tell us that, well, we cannot be sure what happens after death. How do you know? We have not been there. That's what they will tell. They will put the evidence. They will make almost just answer me. They say, Atembu, and I say, well, many of you are here. Isn't that who said Atembu or Homaye? Into me, who said? Well, if it's all right, into me, who said? Well, it is true if truly, we don't have God's word on afterlife. I bear the pressure the Omo can say, I hope one same end country and say, if you are seeing more and that's your rua, the ever bar, I can do the Omo can be said, Yenya, Nakobia, Nakim, no boom, no castle, goes for all other religions, Obia, one in church, a war, Nipua, Jesu, I'm sure some of the Eastern Asian cultures, I mean, religions like the Buddhism or some of them think that when you die, you turn to an animal, or you turn to a wood, or you turn to a tree, you turn to a rock, and depending on how you live, you may turn to some creature somewhere. Well, that's what they believe. Some also believe that when we die, we are extinguished like gas in the air and we are dissolved. You see? But the Bible tells us, God's word tells us that it is appointed unto men once to die, after this, the judgment. Jamaican said, you move say, well, you know, you are going to move by a word there himself. And the other now, they all can say, I think we and because the only can say, you have to go some far, start to be an old year, give a gentleman to me, say, hey, you're into me. But I'm not some worker. Say, a word you, I think we and as we also know that humans are not a product of chance. But some people who are brainwashed think that we are products of chance. And this is where the thinking goes with this idea that we don't know where we are going to. We don't know where we came from. We just came. We are not product of chance. So if we are not that, then everything about man's life, we have God's word to tell us. So that we don't need to imagine how our life should be. We don't need to imagine how to live. But unless God's word directs us. It's the same God's word that has manifested to us how he justifies sinners. Nyankopona semia odia man ya fire brabo ni mesima ebetumi atenase ye ama buta odi boye no eno na chiran ye mesima yakopon obu adeboye fo bi. It goes and that tells us how he justifies sinners. Okay, he tells us about the gospel of Christ, which offers forgiveness to everyone through the Lord Jesus Christ. I like this verse that Peter quotes. I mean, it's quoted Acts chapter 3, verse 26. Look at how he spoke to the Jews after they have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, and after he's preaching them for them to repent. He said, look at how he cast the word. He said, unto you first, God, having raised up his son, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Also, more. The gospel which tells us how God justifies sinners, which tells us how God reconciles back to us, which tells us that our sin has a solution, has a remedy. It is God's own way to show it to us in his word. In some part, try a bonnet amnusie, and it makes me a couple of people, or people at the boy for Bimno. So you see, God has not left us to be destroyed by our sins, has not left us to go on in this world not knowing where we are going. He has shown us. You see, he has told us that Christ has given his life freely for us, he has suffered for sin. He died on the cross of Calvary for us. He didn't die for anyone. He died for us. So that whoever comes to him, he will surely save. He will surely save and give you a place among his people. Only we will, if we are willing to turn and give up our sins, God is willing to receive us. If only we are willing to come to the Savior, he will forgive us. Because he has told us that there's going to be a day of judgment. God is not, I mean, what people think of, well, if God is so good and loving that and merciful that he will not let people suffer forever in hell. Well, it's human imagination. If you say, oh, you know, one day, or you say, oh, my, you know, 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 you see, God has offered mercy, and those who reject must come to face his justice. Those who reject this offer must come to face his justice. Because in Romans 2:16, we are told that those who will come and face, because in that day, when God shall judge the secret of men by Jesus Christ according to the gospel. Purpose according to my gospel, our faith according to the gospel. God will judge us. Those of us who have heard the gospel, those who did not hear the gospel, God will judge according to the light they had. But you and I will be judged according to what we did to the Savior. And we did to the gospel. Many of you know, yet some pambrem, you know. In that day, when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to the gospel. So you see, we shall be judged according to what we did to the gospel. We shall be judged according to what we did to offer of mercy. Did we embrace it? Did we repent and turn to the Savior? We will answer for it. So I'm sure that at the day of judgment, those who go to hell, I'm sure those who did not hear the gospel, maybe their punishment will be less, I don't know. But those, well, I think the pain will be the fact that somebody who have known the right thing and he didn't do it and is punished for it. That person bear a lot of pain than the one who didn't hear, well, he was punished for it. So that is it. So that, those of us who hear the gospel, who heard that Christ have died for sin, and we are sinners, and we were so much busy with our life, we were so much busy with the love of our sin, we never repented. Well, some even repented half-heartedly, became religious, attend churches, and became even whatever churches, whatever they can do for churches. But they never truly repent. And they went on like lukewarm, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter, the lukewarm church, Laodiceans. And Christ said that he will spew them out. He said they are neither cold or warm, and he doesn't want that. He will spew them out so that we cannot be half-hearted Christians and think that, well, by and by we'll get to heaven. It's a deception. But the Bible tells us it is appointed unto men once to die, after this, the judgment. The judgment. Okay, let's think about that. What is death? Somebody will say, what is death? Because nowadays, science and some people give, because they see what physically happens to us, and they say, that is death, and that is so. So is death a mere season of the breath? A woman is is that all? Is that what death is about? Well, some people, as an example, think that is what simply death is about. Well, it is the cessation of the human existence. Well, so and so lived, he died, and that's all. Sandy Paul, Osumesi, Otinasi, Wewu, and one. That is all that people think. Some people think it is. So, like animals, there is no accountability for the dead. And there are Omo Amogi, I said, Emua, Ago, I said, no, no, no. Sorry. Ago, I think we'll be in Omo Abua. Few days ago, I read of a news, I think it was from the U.S. Somebody was charged for eating pets in the community, a lady. Misinformation, but they thought that it was an immigrant. So became, I mean, talk about over there. And she was charged for eating cats. And I was laughing, I said, well, you come to Africa, cats are supposed to lick us, you see. But he had been taken to, custody and all that. They were so mad about it. Well, that is their culture. They really cherish their pets. But here, people eat cats, and it's normal meat. So I was laughing about it. The fact is that animals are not accountable for anything. Animals are animals. God has given for them to enjoy. But we are giving life for accountability. You see, it doesn't matter. So those who think that death is just like that, they think that, well, all that is left for those who have gone to the grave is the memory they left behind. What they did and the memory, the impact they made in the life of those who are living. Have you ever watched some of the funeral of these celebrities? Well, they will read about all that he did and the good thing he did and the entertainment he went over, and that's all. And may God, and they'll say, may God, I mean, keep his soul or whatever. What a deception. Well, they will talk of all that he has, the legacy he has left behind, blah, blah, blah. That is not, well, we are supposed to live a good life because we are moral beings. But the main purpose, the main thing we have to think about is that one day we shall stand before the Most Holy God, whose standards all our morality cannot stand. That's what we have to think about. So that we throw away whatever accomplishment we have in this world and think of that. The also have been when they said, that you your papaya nyano and so and the papaya home. And she said, yeah, papa do we actually move there, you know, or see a choking baby cry. Well, let people say about it. But us, let us in our hearts know that we are not good. Yeah, can see come in, you say, yeah, papa. And then only the mercy of the Lord Jesus, the forgiveness in him alone will make us stand before God at that day. So the memory of the dead, they cherish it. And that is all. And did you know that this idea have shaped even people who go to church? Sometimes when you read a trend of the culture and the society, people close their mind to what people really are championing. Whatever comes on as a popular culture or popular ideas, well, in the short term, it will not have so much effect. But in the by and by, it shapes society and their mind. This so-called gay and lesbian, whatever homosexual people are talking about today, it started with ideas that was promoted by these secular philosophers about life. They thought that human beings are like animals, and that we have to express our feelings. Nobody should restrict us. And that is what they taught in the universities and, I mean, psychologies, whatever. And this is what we have. Now, people think that enjoyment is the ultimate. And nothing else. You see, some things are the issue. So, it has even shaped some people who are churchgoers, who are hypocrites. All that they desire in this life is enjoyment. Be happy. And yet, they are uncertain of eternal life. They are uncertain about their life after death. So the intention of such is that they go to church for what purpose? So that God will relieve them of life troubles. The troubles of life, God will take it away from them and also grant them a prolonged life of enjoyment. Yes. So if I don't know my brains, how do I tell my dream? Well, I'm going to my dream, they but the other one is, yeah, I'm sorry, see, I'm going to boy, or yeah, I'm going to obey you on my no, we also on my dad or my uncle. You better not see anything as I see so near Jenny. So you talk of death, it's a taboo. Some come forward, you almost say, no, can't you want some? How would that be? A word that men can want some brah. A better man, you just say. I've said this before. I have a cousin in Kumasi. One time we went to a funeral and he came. He said, well, you know, a very rich man. And often when you meet him, all that he's worried about is God didn't do well. Why? Because God has made death. Well, he thinks of one day dying and leaving his world. So when death comes into his mind, he's worried. But his worry is not to find solution to that, just to be angry against God. Well, I don't know about me. I'm a ninja. Because one day when you better not with Jahoko. You see how people think. And this is what people think of. Oh, but that's not the purpose of life. To live long and enjoy life. That's not the purpose of life. To live long and enjoy life is a philosophy of life that really kills the soul. To live long and enjoy life. It's a sad thing. But that's what people think today. I'm sure we all know this. Well, if we are one of those people, we are killers, we are killing our souls. We will never find the truth. God will never have mercy on us. Because we cannot even repent of our sins. We cannot even think of how poor we are before God. Whenever poverty or troubles comes, well, God has not done well. But when things are moving on far, we enjoy, well, God has left us. That is this. So life after death, God's hatred for sin and its punishment, eternal hell and its misery are not their concern. Well, if you try to tell them about it or try to rebuke them about something, they will tell only God knows. Put those things aside. Matters of death and only God knows. Well, don't let it come around us at all. So they have so much concern with them. I mean, their life, they are careless of the important matters of life. They are anxious for everything, but not for their soul. Not for afterlife. That one, when it comes, if you bring it to them, it disturbs their peace. They don't want to think about it. But it's not sad. How many years have we got to live in this world? And how many years eternity? Eternity has no end. And then we don't want to think about it. We want to think about a short time that we don't know when our breath will be taken from us. We think of that one and we secure it. How sad it is. How sad it is. As the hymn writer said, how sad our state by nature is. So my question to you this morning, what about you? What do you think about it? What do you think about the afterlife and what preparations have been made? Me say once we a worry ho say ahoboa ba na wa ya ma a worry. What about you? Are you concerned with your soul after death? Or you have left it to chance? Also, why drain imrenya benya won pin me sma da chi wu a de beto wana anasa won so de wa chi na jeje mu pin e ka de jeje mu de besi bien. Are you one of those? Because the Bible teaches us that death is not the end of our existence. Bible says, "Ewo enye yen kwa ana ekra ewiye." Death is not the end of our existence. The human soul do not die with the body. Nipakra no eni nipedwani umbo. Bible tells us there's a separation after death. And then the Bible tells us that Ecclesiastes 12:7. Then shall the dust return to the earth, the body, that's the body, as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. As in the nipa bewa, nipa diano, the ko asasia sumesi ma bibi fiba yano, but nipa unkwa na nekra no koko nyankupo. That is it. At death is separation, and this should be always in our mind that at death, immediately I die. That's why I quoted that Luke 16 account. Christ show to us and spread on what it is when we die. But people think it's just a joke. Immediately after death, the body is laid down. Well, sometimes we may die by accident, but some have died in the seas and animals have eaten their bodies, but their souls were not eaten. Their souls were not destroyed with the body. It went to God. And my question to you is that, will God welcome your soul to heaven? Or he will turn you to hell? I'm not thinking of the final judgment. Immediately, say, have you ever thought of that? Will I be happy after that? Or will I be in a state of misery? Friends, eternity is before us. And sometimes I sit down and think of it. Because I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm happy. But then I think of the large number of people who, well, don't even care about it. The large number of people, if you look at their life, it's all about this world. There's nothing of like, well, let me sit down and think of what happens to my life after that. Then I feel sad because there's so many people who go to church. Well, all that they think about is this world. All the life they have is this world. And yet, well, it's sad. Especially when you go to visitation, you see people, you talk to them. Well, you are aware that there's life after death, there's judgment. And they ask you, so what have you done about it? Then some will begin to laugh. Some who will try to say something else. It's sad that many times we have gone to the station, it's difficult to find someone who is so assured and genuinely assured that he will be at the right side when Christ comes. Genuinely. Those who say they will be in heaven, the answers are not. It's hard to find. And it tells you that common thing with us that people don't think after life. People think of this world and its business, and that is all. Okay, I'll go to my next thing. And it's appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. So we are told the next chapter of our life that begins immediately after death is judgment. After death, there's judgment. And this is an appointment that no one can miss. Whether we believe it or not, we can never miss. See, I did you and we cannot bypass it. We may choose not to think about it in this life. We may put it off in our minds. But when it's time to appear, you have no choice. I have no choice. Our life is not for us. We did not give ourselves life. God, as we are told, those who die, their spirit go back to God. He takes it, it's his own. And he decides what to do with that spirit that he gave. He will decide what to do with that soul that he gave. He's a potter. We are the clay. He decides what to do. And he will do it according to how he led us in his word. So you see, we are not on our own. We live in this world and we think we are champions. No. And I'm sure we all know, even before we die, illnesses and many issues of life sometimes make me think that, we are nobody. I'm sure each one of us have faced that before. Then we are nobody. Emre, we will be crying and say, we will be crying, no. And yet we think we are somebody. So we cannot escape. So then why do we put it off? So God's judgment begins immediately we die. And as I told, Jesus spoke about it in Luke chapter 16. Let me just quote you the last two verses, verse 22-23. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, the praise, paradise where the dead goes, and the righteous dead go. The rich man also died and was buried. The body was buried though. In hell he lifted up his eye. The body was lifeless, but his soul lifted up his eye, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So you see, immediate separation. And let this verse always remind us. There's immediate separation. Let people say whatever they say. This is what the Bible tells us. There's immediate separation. There's no, the spirit goes back to God, he directs where it has to be. See? God will turn all those who never lived for him, who never sought for him, who never thought of him and his ways that will change us, will make us his people, turning and change our heart, granting us forgiveness. If we despise, he will also despise us at that day when we come to die. So that it tells us there's separation. There are two places of abode after death, for the both the saved and the unsaved. And they remain, our souls remain in such places until the day of judgment. So just think of all the thousands of people that have lived in this world, both the good and the bad, they are there. They are all waiting. Their souls are there waiting until the day of final judgment. And then God will raise up their bodies and join them to the soul. Because you know, when he created man initially, man was made out of the dust and he breathed that spirit to him. He breathed that soul to him. So he's able to do that. God who joined the two is able to separate the two. So he only, that's why Christ told us that we should not be afraid of those who can destroy our bodies, but the one who can both destroy body and soul in hell. That is God. He can join the two. He can separate the two. Only he has that power. We cannot do it ourselves. So he tells us. So that at the day of the final judgment, the body and the soul be joined together. Look at how the Revelation casts this about the bodies of those who have died. Revelation 20 verse 30. And the sea gave up the dead which were in death. Look at the countless people that have drowned in the sea. By shipwreck, by floods, by Noah's flood. Look at the number of people who died. They were washed ashore, washed into the sea. And all the millions that have died there. The sea will give up their bodies. Their bodies will come out. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. The place of their abode of the dead. That are not God's people. They are in a place of torment. So that place also, their bodies from the grave will be given and they're to be joined. And they were judged every man according to their works. And what are our works? Sin. They were judged according to their sinfulness. Because we have nothing good to claim. They were judged according to their sinfulness. Sometimes when people think of their works, then they are thinking of, well, my good deeds and my bad deeds. It's a lie. We have nothing to claim before God. Our works are our sin. And that's what we are going. So we are going to receive judgment on our crimes. That is all. Not anything good that we have done. So you see, then God will pass judgment on them. That is what the Bible tells us. And when the judgment is passed, we are told in another verse that then God will be separated from such people forever, but then they will suffer forever. That's what it means. The comfort of life will be taken away. The peace and happiness that they think they wanted to pursue in this world will be taken away. There will be no enjoyment in hell. There will be no happiness or comfort in hell. There will be no health in hell. God will draw from them. Always, I tell the Sunday school children, I see that. But when I want to tell them about hell, think of having a toothache or stomachache that never goes. That never goes. Stomach pain or toothache, that never goes. Just think of it. If you have ever had that encounter, you think of it, it never goes. Because God will take away everything that makes us live and enjoy life. All happiness, all health. You have a body and a being, and you lose everything that supports it to make you happy. That is that's what hell is about. Some people think of hell as burning in the fire. Well, that could be there, but then the pain that's in your soul, the sadness and the pain is beyond being burned physically with fire. You see, that is what will happen to those that God will cast away from him. And again, the Bible tells us in Acts 17:31, we are told that God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Look at that, in righteousness, in his perfect righteousness. By that man whom he hath ordained, the Lord Jesus Christ he's talking about, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Christ being raised from the dead make God's promise to judge him as sure. Because he is the one who sits on the throne. He will come back as the judge of all the earth. And then God will judge the world in righteousness. Perfect righteousness. Not just according to anyone's righteousness. So the day of judgment might be greatest concern to each one of us. Yes, sir. Yanku Ponso Bebu attend. Na I attend Bono Beti Mkwa. Because that will be, the judgment will be according to principles of strict justice. It wouldn't be like something that, a judge that you can impose upon him so that he can twist the judgment. No. And it is not going to be what we think is right or wrong, but according to God's law. And the Bible tells us that God is no respecter of persons. Nobody can impose on him. He doesn't judge us because of our faith. He judges us according to his law. What we did with his word and his law. Not because of how nice we are to people, not because of how influential we are in this world, but according to how we have lived, according to what he required for each individual. And especially those of us in the gospel times, according to how we have done with Christ. All those who rejected him, all those who spurned his gospel. So that is what the judgment is going to be. And again, it must be great concern because the Bible tells us in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Here is righteousness, but the Bible tells us there is none righteous. And yet we are going to be judged with righteousness. We don't have righteousness. We don't have that which will go, make God to approve us righteous. We have all transgressed God's law. Our conscience tells us we are not guiltless. So that if it should stand the same way without any remedy, then all mankind will be found guilty at that day. Says that be ya muna, obiabe dina kopim sabrenwa. Yen ye bebu yofo. If you say obie no water and ye beso nini. If you say nya ebon, we all have sinned against him. Sinned against his law. And as I said, those who despise the gospel, our sins will be great. Our sins will be against God, despise of God's mercy, because we rejected our forgiveness. If you say, because you have rejected him. You didn't want to give yourself to him. But then the last verse tells us the hope, which I repeated along the line. So that so, because of this day of judgment, look at what God has done. So Christ was once offered to pay the sins of many. And unto them that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. We are to die once and to go to judgment, let's suffer for our sins. But God in mercy has made his son to also die once for sin. He has made a way of escape for us. So he came to bear the shame and our cares on the cross of Calvary, so that those of us who will run to seek refuge, there's what? Security for us. He's the rock of ages. As the rock of ages, clear for me. Rock of ages, clear for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Mamin fami hu emeshtie abambuasi. Against when? The day of judgment. Christ, if you are in Christ, you are covered. His sacrifice has stood fast for you. His death is, all the shame he bore on the cross is for you. All that he did is for you. Romans 10:4 tells us, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ is the end of the law, because he obeyed God's law perfectly. And also he paid for a transgression of God's law on the cross. So that if I am in him, as if I have obeyed all the laws of God, that God will have nothing against me. The purpose of God's law, we couldn't meet it. Christ has met it for us. Then we will be free. And he added, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The beautiful thing is here. Do we look for his coming? That's the question we ask. It's one of the signs that tells us, are we really his people? Are we happy that Christ will come anytime? Because what? Those that Christ saves, he changes their heart, he gives them a new nature, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in them. And then there's a change of life for them. They begin to live anew. And then by this, they live in every day in expectation of him, because each and every day their life is connected to him. They are living under his principle. If you go to Romans chapter 8, it tells us those who live under the principle of the spirit and those who live under the principle of the flesh. So those who are living under his spirit and the truth of God's word applying to their life, they are willing for him to come. It's like a child in the house who is obedient and another child who is disobedient. Maybe their parents travel and they call, they are coming today. Which one of them will be happy? The obedient child. He is happy that mommy and dad will come and he will be happy. But the one who is stubborn and who have done so messily with his life, he's afraid. And he wish that their mommy will never come at all. And that is the way of sinners. If we are not one of those who are happy, it doesn't mean that those who are happy to think of that, they are not sinners. Because they know that they have rested their hope of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are striving daily to live to praise him. And that whenever, even they go astray, they come with crying to plead for mercy. And the Lord receives them again. It's not that they are sinless. No, nobody is sinless. But then, the joy, God will never take it from the heart of those that he has forgiven. The joy of, salvation. Now, if we know the joy of salvation, it will always be with us. So, you see, they live in expectation. So, this is very, very important. Unto them that look for him, shall he appear the second time And we, if we have believed, will be without sin unto salvation. That's what it means. Everyone who is in Christ, who have been saved, will appear, though sinners, because he has covered our blood, will appear before him without blame, without sin. You see how it is. But those who never came, what are they going to appear that day with? Their own sins. They will be judged according to their works. So, another aspect, and those who wait for him, these people have realized the enmity of the world against holiness. That's another aspect of being knowing that I'm a Christian. If I know, I say I'm a Christian, I don't know that the world and its system and culture is against God, and that I live against the world and its culture of enjoyment and of rest and comfort and happiness, I don't know. Salvation. Christ warned us about this. If I'm not living against God, the Bible tells us, Christ himself said, the world in 1 John chapter 2 verse 15, he that loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The love of the world. If it's in my heart, what's the love of the world? My thinking, my ambitions, my way of life is only to satisfy my pleasures in this world and not concerning myself. That's the life of the world. All that I'm doing is to have enjoyment and enjoy. That's the life of the world. But those who know Christ, they have seen God's nature, which is against the world. So they know the world's enemy of what? Holiness. So those people are willing to live in a narrow way. Have you ever heard people, they call themselves Christians, but when a Christian wants to do things that are right, and they will say, well, you're a Christian. Have you heard some people saying that? It's a bad word to hear from somebody who says a Christian. If maybe he's doing wrong, and somebody wants to correct, then with the Christian smash wrong. You have, it's like, in the end, you say like, yeah, holier than thou. By three near more way, with the Christosome at its own. As if Christosome, any now point. Being a Christian has its way. So, obligation of whom, if only the person acts wrong, that is fine. But if he's acting according to scripture, and he wants to live in humility to that, and you tell him or her that, with the Christosome at its own, and you call yourself a Christian, what a shame. And the Bible tells us that's the narrow way. Living as a Christian, there's so much to do with self-denials. There's so many things to give up. Even things that are not sinful. Things that are not sinful. If we don't know that, we will never know true Christianity. Because we'll never know the opposition of the world against godliness. We'll mix them up and thinking that, well, we are Christians. No, there is opposition against the way of holiness in the world. And Christ came to institute it for us. So we are after Christ, we learn how to live that way. The last time I think I talked about the narrow way and the broad way. That is it. Christianity is not just mental. I mean, well, I know Christ and no, it's life. Christianity is not just a belief, it's life. Have you seen how Islamic people live their life? You see how they live their life? Those who are typical Islam. Well, I'm not talking of Christian thinking that there should be a special dress or whatever, but I'm talking of that mindset that he's a Muslim. And now anything you do that will let him not practice Islam, he will not be happy. He will not go with you. But how many Christians do that? That I'm a Christian. So that whatever you do, that will cause me not to act as a Christian, I'm not happy. How many Christians are willing to do that? If they have been Christians at all. So you see, the Bible teaches us that, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation, because he has really worked in their hearts so that they love him. My question to you is that, are you among such Christians that Christ has saved? What can you accuse to Ajo among Pano, among Pet, Ekin, Debiaso, or Banuana, no Mubua, Braboa, the Koso, and Nisa, Adrian, Ekonuana? Are you among those? That is Christianity. Do you have that? Those are only Christians that will not be condemned at that great day. There will be many. Christ said, they will say, well, we did this in your name. We did that in your name. Lord, Lord, we did this. I never knew you. You were cursed of iniquity. Because you did it for yourself and for other reasons, and you didn't really give your heart to him. God doesn't care about whatever we do for him. if our heart is not for him. Yankopon onfa ne mfa no de yema no se yakoma enye ne dia. He doesn't care. We can kill ourselves. As in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I give myself to be bent up and I don't have charity, I'm nothing. That is it. If I don't have the love of Christ in my heart, I am nothing. So that is it. What about you? Are you amongst us that are saved? Have you also come to the Savior? Has he saved you? We have many who say we have come to the Savior, but the question is, has he saved you? Has he changed your heart? Are you not living as the world? Do you know the difference between a Christian and a worldly? Do you know the standard? Every Christian is striving to learn it. No Christian is perfect. You learn it. It's in the Bible. And we, by and by, the Lord teaches us. We conform to it more and more. That is what Christianity is about. Christianity is not knowing things in your mind. It's good at the beginning, but it should go on further to live what you know. So have you also come to him? If you have not, then you condemn yourself at that great day. Once wrote to me about Christo Hua, and I was asking Wakuma, why Joe? So on Jehua, also wrote to me about Ninchen. You can also come to him. That is why he has given us opportunity each and every time to hear it again and again. So our last breath. So may the Lord help us as we think about these things. Because there's going to be a day of judgment, and all of us must prepare. And are you preparing?